She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
In this episode, we talk about suicidal thoughts, suicide, murder, physical abuse, verbal abuse, and other awful things that come with the human condition. We here at Book Besties understand that all of this can be sensitive topics for you. Please do not feel bad by skipping this episode. Skip this episode if these are triggers for you. Thank you. Right there. I burned myself right there.
You should not be doing crafts unsupervised. It is not a good idea.
It's not my fault the hot glue gun gets so hot that it burns skin off.
It's literally in the title of the item. You're like one of those people that need your coffee cups to say, warning, might be hot.
Right. But also, I'm also one of those people that can take cardboard and turn it into a fucking wishing well. You know what I mean?
That is pretty impressive.
I have that talent. I have the ability to take cardboard and turn it into almost anything. And I am.
I know.
But I also hurt myself. I got cuts because of the box cutter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're breathing through it because you're trying not to yell at me for hurting myself.
You and Tom have this in common where you should not be doing crafting.
Or playing. We're beautifully creative in so many different ways. Sapphire, sure. For the love of Christ, get out of here. I hate this cat.
Okay. Cool.
Sorry.
So this week I got my third box from this TikTok channel.
Yeah, the book bundles.
So, yeah, it's Book Bestie Bundles on TikTok. Ooh. And I'll link her below. So the way this all started was when she first created her channel, mm-hmm. I guess it's been almost a year now. Ooh. I liked one of her posts because I really love these mystery unboxing things, and mm-hmm. she does the little gumball capsules and
it's just mystery.
Yeah. Right. And I liked one of
it's a little ASMR because of fondle and shit. And
you know, my brain loves the ASMR. So she messaged me and was like, we have the same name because we're Book Besties Podcast and she's Book Besties Bundles. Yeah. And I was like, hey, new bestie. And so we're mutuals on TikTok. And she sent me one box for free to unbox for our TikTok channel. And since then I've bought two boxes. And so these are worry stones that she has in there. And I sit while we're on the podcast and I rub them.
Fiddle them.
This headband came from her, and really cute stickers. Like this one, it says Small Town Romance and it's a Band-Aid. Like that'll heal everything. And I love it. This Fourth Wing sticker. Where the Fourth Wing sticker?
Ooh. Oh, I do love a good Fourth Wing sticker.
I don't know where the Fourth Wing sticker is, but a thumb holder, and she makes the cups. Like she made this.
Oh, that's cute.
And it says one more chapter. And then I got a straw cover as well. And so anyway, she sent me one and now I've bought two more and I'm hooked and I'm going to buy another one. And she's lovely. Nice. So go follow her page.
Trinkets. I love trinkets.
I know. Me too. I love trinkets. I actually took a picture and then realized I couldn't message on TikTok pictures, which is weird to me. But I was going to message her. You'd think I'd have my collection's complete, but I want more. Because I really have so much of the stuff now and I just love it and I want to keep going. And honestly, this right here, this is a stamp marker. It stamps a heart. It's so damn cute.
Aww.
And I have all sorts of stuff from her and you get to pick your color palette. Pink and I've done pink and teal. And the last one I did was rainbow. And she really did make sure I had red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple.
That's so sweet.
She's really awesome. So
I love this.
Go support a small business. She's hustling and she has some really cute stuff. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I'm here for it. No, this week has been just busy. Busy. Yeah. It's the end of school year, you know?
Well, it's not here because we go until the middle of June. But I've been fighting a sinus infection for 2-3 weeks. I can't get over it.
It's the season of allergies here. I was really, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was mm-hmm. in that frog voice where I start to lose my voice, you know, because mm-hmm. of the allergens. And Matt put me on vocal rest on Thursday. He's like,
how'd that work?
He's like,
out?
You got to film.
I can't imagine you being silent.
It doesn't work.
Right, clearly. Well, I tried to make
We wouldn't be here.
I tried to make an appointment with an allergist, and it's kind of been a pain in the ass, but I'm still trying because I'm allergic to dust and mold. Like, those are my primary allergens, and I am a librarian. It was just such a great choice for my life.
I am allergic to life, I think.
But I went to the dermatologist this week, and now I have a prescription for retinol, so I have old lady medicine now.
What's the meme? If you had JTT on your wall, it's time for retinol.
Yep.
Okay.
True. All right, so we're here.
We're here. Okay, so this week's book, I actually want to show off what I got. This week's book is Academy of Liars.
Wow, you got a special edition. Mine's a library copy. Support local libraries.
This is from, if I can find it, it's a Lumicrate. It's one of their special editions. Look at the elevator.
It's pretty.
Pretty spine.
That's not the spine. That's the pages, but okay.
You knew what I meant. Shut up. Shut it.
I had to specify because people that listen to us and don't watch it, they don't know what you're talking about.
And then them in Amsterdam.
Hmm.
Very pretty. Very pretty. So would you like my very fancy synopsis? Oh, wait. I would like to give a content warning, friends.
She didn't even let me answer her. She just kept going.
What else is new? Okay.
Fair.
Content warning, guys. Mm-hmm. In this episode, we talk about suicidal thoughts, suicide, mm-hmm. murder, physical abuse, verbal abuse, and other awful things that come with the human condition. Mm-hmm. We here at Book Besties understand that all of this can be sensitive topics for you. Please do not feel bad by skipping this episode.
Yeah.
Skip this episode if these are triggers for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, synopsis. I don't know where that was.
Nope. That is not how you say that. That's not even close to how you say that.
I just take a whack at the English language, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Also, my brain is full of Nathan Fillion. I've been watching The Rookie, and we're reading the Chaotic Orbit series. So,
I cannot wait to talk to Beth about it.
Ugh, Nathan Fillion.
We'll talk more about that later.
Anyways. Synopsis. Lennon hates her life, but really doesn't know how to change it. That's when she catches her fiancé cheating on her. This mm-hmm. pushes her over the edge, and she just mm-hmm. decides she's just going to kill herself. But before she can follow through with it, she gets a phone call to a telephone booth mm-hmm. meant for her. Mm-hmm. It is
in an abandoned parking lot.
In a strip mall that's about to close. Or in a mall that's about to close. It is mm-hmm. an invitation to a home in Utah. She must be there in less than 24 hours. This leads her to going through an interview and testing process for Drayton College. This school is so out of the ordinary, she had no idea she even applied.
Well, she didn't really apply.
Right, right. But now she is feeling more like herself. The more she learns her magic or persuasion, mm-hmm. But as she settles in, she starts to have feelings for her advisor, and things keep going sideways for her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oop! It looks like our elevator's here. Let's go to Drayton, shall we?
Yeah. I wore my People Need Other People shirt, which is from To Write Love on Her Arms, and I'll mm-hmm. link it below, but they are a organization for supporting people who have mental health struggles, who have struggled with suicide, addiction, and self harming. And I've been a really big fan of this organization since their founding, which they founded in Florida when I was teaching down there in the emo mid-aughts. And anyway, so I wore that today because of the content of this book.
What was I going to say? I'm wearing my hashtag not sponsored shirt, but it's chilly, so I got a sweater.
That Nurse Katie got us. I love it.
I love these words. Yeah. Let's start at the top, shall we? Lennon is a mess. And that is an understatement. Mm-hmm. When we meet her, she's in the bathroom, late to her own engagement party, avoiding everyone, including her fiance, who she doesn't seem to like very much. She doesn't seem to like anyone that much, honestly. When she finally joins the party and gets things going, everything starts to blend together pretty fast with the help of alcohol and weed. Lennon catches her fiance fucking their friend and his colleague at their engagement party.
At their engagement party. The audacity.
The balls on this man are fucking huge. And she bolts. Her plan is simple. Kill herself. But then the phone rings. Mm-hmm. What do you think about how we're meeting Lennon?
I mean, you skipped a part where she sees like a demonic version of herself in the mirror.
Yeah, she's like seeing shit in the mirror, right?
So I don't know. I mean, you get the idea that she's not altogether there. And before she even gets the phone call, I think there's like a whole conversation about her having been admitted and because of suicide. Yeah. And she dropped out of college, but she's still with, like, the fiance was somebody she met in undergrad, even though she dropped out. Mm-hmm. It definitely sets the tone of like what this character is going to be. And the tone for the whole book is very like heavy and dark.
Yeah. There is a lot of weight to this book when it comes to emotions, feelings, and life.
And I'll be honest, I don't ever think I liked Lennon the entire book. I didn't really find her likable. And I don't know if we're supposed to or not, but
I don't know.
Then we both read this as an audiobook, and mm-hmm. I think the narrator did a great job with the other characters, but I do not like the way that she did Lennon. Lennon comes across as really whiny. And I don't
think she's supposed to be a likable character.
Well, she's not, so there's that.
I don't think she's supposed
but
to be
But she's
a
the hero.
Character.
Like, she's supposed to be the chosen one. You are the chosen one!
We were rooting for you! We were all rooting for you!
How did we go from Star Wars to America's Next Top Model? Have we? We've done this before. Deja vu.
We've done this before. Because it's the same. I'm yelling at you because you disappointed me. I'm screaming because
you were supposed to bring balance to the force.
Not make terrible photo shoots. See, that's how we got here. Okay. So starting out mentally broken with Lennon, right? Mm-hmm. Starting out her being this broken human mm-hmm. and seeing that she really has no control of her life or really cares mm-hmm. to have control of her life. Mm-hmm. That sets you up to be like, I don't know if I want to be friends with this girl. Like, I don't know why we're following her. And I think that makes her unlikable in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I think we're supposed to start to like her. I don't know.
Well, I know you've got a question about this, but there's definitely like magician vibes. Yeah. Did you read the books or just watch the series?
I watched like the first season, and then life got distracting.
So I watched the whole series, and I've read the whole trilogy. And Quentin is very much like a Lennon character. Like, he was very struggling with his mental health and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then, but he is the chosen one.
Yeah.
Although, right. In the series, the TV series, he's not the chosen one necessarily. He is in the book.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. The phone call leads us to Utah, where mm-hmm. we show up to a stranger's house. Mm-hmm. He gives Lennon some sort
always
of
always a good choice.
Just going into a stranger's home, always. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. what can go wrong when you just walk into a stranger's home? He gives Lennon some sort of test. Then mm-hmm. she sends her to the second part. Just mm-hmm. go upstairs.
Yeah.
They're waiting for you. Right?
Right.
She somehow travels through this door into another location. She literally goes through a doorway, and next thing you know, she's inside another building, in another location, in another place and time.
In another state. She's in Savannah.
Yeah. This is Drayton University. Mm-hmm. Here, she will take more tests to see if she's accepted.
Yeah.
By this point into the novel, I was getting heavy magician's vibes.
Yeah.
How are you liking the book at this point?
So I definitely felt like almost scene for scene the application process.
Yes.
The testing process was almost scene for scene.
Magicians.
The beginning of The Magicians.
I agree.
The first season of The Magicians is very true to the first book of The Magicians. Well, most of the first book of The Magicians. But, yeah, she gets a test, and then she goes and does a written test, and then she gets to do a more, like, performance test. And, like, during the written test, both in the TV series and book series The Magicians and in an Academy for Liars, people just start disappearing, right? Because they're not qualified.
Right.
And just like The Magicians, nobody applied to be part of this. They were told they had been watched, and like, you kind of become part of this from birth. So yeah, there were definitely Magicians vibes. I kept picturing like that scene where Quentin uses a quarter. He's doing close-up magic, and the professor like has him open his hand, and there's nothing actually there because he really did make it disappear. It wasn't true close-up magic. It was real magic. So I definitely got those vibes. Although this was much more violent because Lennon has a nosebleed and then full on has a seizure and loses consciousness for like, what, like 2 days or something?
Yeah. The use of her power really, I didn't make a question of this, but let's talk about it. The use of her power really destroys your body. Yeah. And the more you use your power in this world, the more it takes a physical effect. And we'll talk about this. Actually, we kind of talk about this with William, but we don't. We'll get to that part of William later. But this is an interesting take on magic.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Because taking from the body as you're pulling out, I don't know. I don't know.
Lennon asks if it's magic. And what's her professor's name?
Dante.
Dante says it depends on who you ask, but he does not believe it's magic. But this is my big with this book. And I know we're really early in the episode for me to be ringing a bell, but this is my big issue with this book. This book cannot decide if they have magic or if they have powers to persuade people. Because if you have powers of persuasion, and there are people that are really good at persuading people, and those people become leaders and politicians and, you know, whatever, like, that's one thing. But what they're doing is completely different because it's more like telekinesis.
Altering someone's... Wait, okay, you know what? This leads into question three perfectly.
Okay, good.
Drayton is a school for persuasion, but it just feels like magic to me. But they use telekinesis. The discussion of it, is this moral, pops up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Do you feel if they use the power of their power is moral? Like, is morality in question here when we're using our magic?
You know what? I'm going to bring up something that I put in our notes, but was later. I'm going to bring it up now. The way that this school is run, with persuasion being the number one goal and getting everyone to bend to your will, it makes so many issues with consent. Yeah. And this isn't in your notes, but and this is much later in the book, but we learned that Dante had an affair with the vice chancellor or whatever her name is. When he was only 15. Yeah. He was only 15 when that happened. He gets her pregnant. He has a baby by the time he's 16. She's a grown ass adult.
Yeah.
You can't tell me. Yeah. Number one, that's pedophilia anyway. But you can't tell me that he even really had a choice in the matter, because persuasion is literally their power. So the entire book, even like Lennon's relationship with Dante that comes later, I'm like, who actually is making a choice here? Because persuasion is your goal. You're obviously using it to bring people to your will. They've lost the opportunity for consent.
And at the point, and in this book, you never always ever know. Like, you can assume sometimes you know what people are doing, mm-hmm. but you never know if people are fully using their powers on you or not.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And the tell that Lennon has is that her nose bleeds when she's really pushing her willpower, but yeah. nobody else seems to do that. And yet Dante and Elaine are supposed to be like two of the most powerful persuasionists. And I mean, I don't know.
What? And you know, they never really explained why she's the one that like,
well, she says that
has the body issues she has when it comes to the magic.
Yeah. And Elaine says, or Elena, whatever her name is, the vice chancellor says that the reason that she got
Eileen.
She got her position specifically because she was coaching Dante and he's so powerful. But I know.
I really
had an issue with it. And I mean,
there's literally, a lot of things I have an issue with
literally training people to persuade other people. I'm not saying that persuasive arguments aren't a good thing to learn, but you're literally tricking people into like, I mean, it's like psychic powers.
It's the perfect example of this. And what you're saying is when, and we're jumping ahead in the story and we'll jump back into my questions in a minute, but I want to finish this conversation. She goes to meet her sister at a bar and they're talking about Dante, and I won't talk about what they're talking about because we're do the spoilers later.
Yeah.
But she decides when they're sitting there to take these memories from her sister. And her sister is sitting there sobbing, crying. She can physically feel what's happening. And she goes, what are you doing to me? Why are you doing this? What? Like, she knows her sister is doing something. She can physically feel it happening.
But because it's being done to her, she doesn't know exactly what's being done. Yep. It reminds me, did you read the Red Queen series by Victoria Aveyard? Okay. So I read the whole thing. I'm just going to say this, everybody. The first book in the Red Queen series was amazing, and then it was a steep downhill into a garbage pile that was on fire. There's a main character in that series who has telekinesis powers, and when she's doing mind reading, she literally, like, carves out pieces inside your brain, like, from, like, she's standing next to you, and she's, like, carving pieces out, and that's basically what Lennon was doing, and
it's
that's
just cutting parts of people out of them.
There's literally evidence in this book that all of them, that's what their persuasive powers do. I don't know how they can say that they're a, like, a
good
school
organization.
It's
definitely a gross... Gross.
It was one thing if you're just persuading people to do things like a lobbyist in politics, if that's your job. But it seems like anyone that's higher up on the persuasion scale, like especially the people that are in Logos, they are evil. They are manipulative and they're literally taking pieces of people.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful.
It's like Hermione wiping the brain of her parents so they won't remember her. She did it selflessly. They are doing it because they can in a lot of cases.
Right.
And also, I don't understand how she learned that fast. She was only in school for 2 semesters and she was able to do that? Really?
And then they're like, we're going to graduate you. It's fine.
Yeah, you only have to go to school for 2 years and you know how to carve people's brains out. When she came home from Christmas after only having 1 semester, she was able to do that. That's bullshit.
It is. It's such crap. Does the dark academia shelving fit this novel?
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely dark academia.
Did we need... Okay, so there were points in this book I was questioning why we were doing some of the things we were doing.
Questioning a lot of it.
For example, did we need the time in South Carolina with Lennon and Dante? Did we need the time with them in Amsterdam? Did this stuff help the story at all?
So I feel like the stuff in South Carolina where they were outside Savannah in Dante's home, but it was actually like the vice chancellor's home, whatever. Like, the I think we need and, we needed yeah. that because there needed to be a cool down period. Like, she just murdered somebody.
Right.
So there right. needed to be a cool down period.
But, in self-defense, gang. In self-defense.
Yeah. In self-defense. So they needed that. And he was still teaching her away from the school. But the Amsterdam trip, the only thing that comes of that is that we see, like, the darkness.
Yeah.
There's a former friend of his that, like, attacks them.
Chases them, yeah.
But it turns out, spoiler, that that guy is, like, dead. And Dante's the one that killed him. So is it, yeah. like, his ghost? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know.
His persuasive presence is still lingering? I don't know.
I don't know. What I didn't get was, it seems like he was, there was a lot of points in this book where shit wasn't fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
And Dante being haunted but not haunted mm-hmm. was really weird for me. Because yeah. what do you mean when your power is low, you're randomly haunted? That's mm-hmm. not the kind of magic we're working with here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and not only did he, like, get haunted by his, like, evil side, but he also got haunted by somebody he killed.
Yeah, and, but it was, like, know. An accident. Not an accident, but he had to kill that. It's
he was told to do it.
It just doesn't feel like some of this stuff was fleshed out.
No.
Lennon does not seem to make good choices when it comes to her romantic life.
To anything.
From the short time we are with her, we learn about several relationships. Several friends.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships that could be deemed inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
The writing insinuates that this and her mental health are symptoms of her gift. What mm-hmm. do you think of this angle?
That's a good, like, question.
Because I don't... Being slutty
mm-hmm.
isn't a side effect of being magical.
I don't think that she was slutty. I think she
I don't
was,
either.
I think she I was just young and words. Naive and choosing...
Expecting people to take care of her.
I think she was just bad at choosing partners because she wanted so desperately to be
loved.
Seen. And loved. For.
And honestly, she probably didn't know what was going on with herself.
That's true. But I'm not certain that what was actually happening was her inadvertently persuading these people to fall mm-hmm. for her. I mean, her sister even mentions, like, Lennon had a high school boyfriend and Lennon had a relationship with that boyfriend's mother.
Right. Like, Lennon falls into inappropriate relationships constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's searching for validation, which if she didn't have a good home life, I would say daddy issues, mommy issues, something.
Mm-hmm.
But this searching mm-hmm. is some sort of side effect of her magic or the use of not using her
but
magic.
I do,
so weird.
But I do feel like people can be promiscuous as a way of self-medicating when they're dealing with mental health issues. Like,
guilty.
I mean, that absolutely can be a thing. And I mean, just looking at the relationships she's had, Dante kept telling her no, and she mm-hmm. kept pushing. So what do we say there? Did she persuade him or was he persuading her? I don't know. It's all gross to me. Like, there's no consent.
And it feels like there's a lot of gray area here because mm-hmm. we're not getting the full story. We're not mm-hmm. in both of their brains. We don't mm-mm. know what's going on.
I just feel like, in general, this book is pretty popular, right? Like, we yeah. had seen it show up yeah. on social media a few yeah. times.
Yeah.
I just yeah. really struggle with a book like this being so popular. Here's yeah. one thing, though. I will say... So I read the whole Magician series, and mm-hmm. it is very pretentious. Like, Lev Grossman writes a very pretentious novel.
But that's the point of it.
He's very uppity with his writing.
Right.
This does a better job of, like, explaining it more of, like, a layman's terms.
Mm-hmm.
But taking this from being magic to be... She built a whole world that I feel like I was immersed in. And it's a standalone, which is kind of a waste, in my opinion.
It feels like she was building halfway through this book. I was like, yes, keep mm-hmm. building this world. This mm-hmm. is a series. And then, like, I don't know. I want to say right here-ish, Right? I'm like, why are we rushing? Why are we shoving all of this in the end? Why are we forcing this down our throats so quickly?
The book is, what, like 300 some odd pages? It could have been...
437. I'm at page...
452 pages. You could have... you could have made this book a series.
Absolutely. You
could have used this book to build the world, had it end with her killing that guy, not the professor, the one that went to school with her.
No, the first one. The one that elevator closed on.
Yeah. Have it end there, and they run away, and now you pick up in a next book. It could have been a duology or a trilogy.
Yeah.
But too much happens on the back third of the book.
Yeah.
She spent so much time building the world, and then she just kind of threw spaghetti at the wall to make it stick.
Stick. Yeah. I got the sex question now.
Just the way you said that.
The sex question.
The sex question.
The sex question. Okay. The sex in this book was fade to black. What are your thoughts? Because the rest of this is really graphic. And then we fade to black for the intercourse. What are you doing?
I don't think it was fade to black completely. It was cracked door. There were definitely some discussions of him inserting himself.
Right.
When he inserts himself.
When a man inserts himself.
Inserts himself? Inserts himself where?
Where? Oh my God, this is why you're having babies.
There was a discussion of that and her being naked and him being naked and how they got to that position. But then it does, you know, it's cracked door, fade to black. I don't care. I wasn't looking for sex in this book.
I was mostly
looking for a point, to be honest with you.
Agreed. Ma'am. Murder is an open secret at Drayton.
Murder.
Students have killed each other. Faculty has killed students. They make it seem like it's no big deal most of the time. When Len first kills herself, her classmate by closing an elevator door on him, his guts go everywhere, the whole fucking thing. It's in self-defense because she would have had to... He was going to kill her if she didn't kill him, right?
Somehow in her dreams, he persuaded her to come outside to where he was.
And follow her to the clock tower.
Followed him up. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He was going to make her commit suicide. He was going to force her to jump because she got his position.
In his view.
Right. Then we later learned, because there's this mysterious murder of Benedict, the guy from Utah.
He's
one of the gatekeepers. He dies mysteriously in this book. But then we learn... The reason he died mysteriously was Lennon.
She went back in time and killed him.
Yeah. What do you think of her being the killer of Bennett and all of like the murder just being commonplace?
So I thought it was weird because they keep making it seem like they're altruistic at this school. Like they're using their persuasion for good, which they're not.
No.
And the potential jobs that all of them have when they're out of school, it's mostly just like, you can be a professor, you can run the library, but only here at Drayton, because really, they're pretty evil. But I did find it a good twist that she went back and killed Benedict. I knew when she got in that elevator and saw that he was there. And when she starts describing the letter opener being on his desk, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, she's the one that killed
him. She's going to kill him. Yeah. Yeah. Baby, what do you want?
And I feel like that was a good twist to this.
Yeah.
That she learned how to not just open gates in space, but gates in time. And she actually went back and killed him. Right. But you know what they never rectify in this book and really bugged me? She never rectifies what Benedict was seeing outside the gate that she opens at his house, because it's a field of some sort. And this triggers something in Benedict that
freaks him out.
Yes. And leads everybody to think that he killed himself.
Right.
Except like his lover slash protege and
who know, also gets murdered.
Does he?
Or commits suicide.
Does he?
I can't remember.
Yeah. No. They go and hang out with him, and he's like in a bathtub in all clothes.
But he's like in a bad way, right?
Yeah, he's not good.
And they thought he was going to kill himself. I don't know.
He was having issues of being drunk and basically raging, and so he got kind of kicked out of school. But anyway, that was a good twist, her killing Benedict. But again, I want to know what he saw, because it triggered something in him, and we never get what that was.
I wonder if she says it's not a duology or a series because she doesn't know if she's going to be able to finish it. Because the ending makes you think there might be more, right?
So the article that I read said it was a standalone, but that she has said she is not opposed to writing another book in this world. That makes sense. But I mean, if they did it, Lennon's like the battery now. It's like, it's like,
perfect lead
over. Mexican Gothic.
Right. Perfect lead over. We learn a single person is keeping Drayton safe and protected.
Yeah, William. Somebody that was thought long dead.
William, a professor. He's using his power and magic to keep the gates up. And when they meet Lennon, they're like, oh my God, this is the girl. She's going to be the one that replaces him, right? And that's why she was so special. We learned this single person, William, has the power to keep the school protected, and now he's dying. This is the reason Lennon's so special to the school. She is who they want to replace William. Do you see, did you see this twist coming?
I mean, I felt like this book gave Chosen One vibes from the beginning. And so I kind of figured she was going to be, I mean, they make it very clear that she's the only true gatekeeper they've had in, you know, a long time. Because, like, the person who, William, who's keeping everything together, he was one of the founder's kids.
And professors. And a professor at one point.
Yeah, but he's also the chancellor now. And he's, I mean, really only in name only, because he's basically just been kept alive so that he can keep the gates going.
He's, he is the school, right? Like you said, Mexican Gothic. Like
he's the battery.
Yeah, he's the battery. And that's what they want Lennon to do. And
but what bothers me is, and this is spoilers, but we've already warned you. What really bothers me about all of this is because it feels like they were going to force Lennon to do this. All of them were forcing her to do it. But then Dante is like, you know, you could just run the whole school if you made the choice to be, and you would have all the power. But it's like, if they forced her to do it, she would have none of the power. But if she chose to do it, she would have all the power.
It's like, he's just like, he makes it seem so simple. He's just like, you know, you could just do it if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So this is perfect for my next question. Is a school slash location or an idea of this place more important than a single person's well-being or identity or life? That's the question we are asking ourselves near the end of this novel. Should Lennon, or any student for that matter, have to give up their well-being, talent, and life to protect the school and keep it safe?
I mean, in my personal opinion, no, I don't think that. However, in the world that Alexis Henderson has created, that is basically the goal, right? So our persuasion is for the common good. And they all have this ideal that they are making things better by existing.
Right.
And so forcing Lennon to do this, it allows them to continue the quote unquote good work that they're doing. And I would say that there's a lot of cults. I mean, that's a big part of cults.
Lots of cults.
You do what you do for the greater good.
Greater good. Greater good. Greater good. No. Get that in unison. Just get it like,
I don't know. Do you have a lot of questions left? Because I don't want to give away something that you've got.
I have three questions left. So go.
Okay. So this book at the very end, Dante fights tooth and nail to help Lennon
keep her alive,
the gates, and basically practically sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
And she
drains him.
Yeah, she's never convinced that he's dead. And the interesting thing is, we learn at some point from her sister Chloe that Dante was in jail for basically assaulting his very abusive stepfather, although he probably did it with persuasion, because the question is like, how did a 9-year-old do this? He probably didn't. He probably convinced the stepdad to beat himself.
To do it himself. Yeah. Right.
So
he probably had access to his power a lot earlier than he realized, you know?
For sure. And so did Lennon.
Dante was always in trouble as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So he escapes from juvie and no one can really tell why. All they know is that he had a visitor and it's a woman. And so the assumption is made that it was Eileen. However, Lennon opens a portal back in time and goes to the jail.
Yes.
And he's not there. And she finds him in a park. So it's almost like she's the one that did it.
Yeah. And didn't even realize it.
Right. Just like when she murdered Benedict. But she tries to get him to come with her. And just as he agrees, the elevator closes.
Right.
So he's stuck in the past.
Yeah.
And that's how the fucking book ends.
Right. Did you like that ending?
No.
Okay.
No.
One more. Since you gave a great breakdown of the ending. I don't even have to do question 12 now. I have two questions. Alexis Henderson is new to Pod, right?
Mm-hmm.
And has been writing for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of her and her style? Will she be back? Will we bring her back? Will we put more of her books on Pod, do you think?
So we've had authors that we've read that I disliked their books so much that I'm like, I don't ever want to read them again. I don't feel
that way. Look at you, Big Swiss.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel that way about her. I do feel like she's really good at building a world. I just feel like this book didn't come together the way that I needed it to.
So if
we picked her again, I would do it. I mean, she's not one that I would be like, hell no, Molly, we're not fucking doing that.
But I would be interested to see how else her writing transitions in other genres, because she doesn't
I think she only writes this genre, though.
I mean, they're all like, one's like a historical dark one, and like it's a hodgepodge.
I'm trying to find a list of, there's not one in here. So the year of the witching and House of Hunger.
Those look both like historical dark academias.
Mm.
And then the Dawn of the Coven kind of gives.
Well, we have said before that I don't like historical fiction, but I do like gothic historical fiction. So maybe gothic, dark academia.
The Year of the Witching looks really bomb. A young woman lives in a rigid puritanical society, discovering dark powers within herself, within terrifying, far-reaching consequences. It's her debut novel. Fiction. Fantasy, it's called.
Well, I mean...
I wouldn't say
no to her again. I mean, I wouldn't. I think she can build a world. I just think that she didn't tell a very good story here.
I feel like this is just an unfleshed idea.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It felt like the beginning, middle, and end were for different stories. The beginning was for a different story than the middle was, and then the end. They were all for different stories, and she put them together.
Yeah.
It just didn't work here. But I have to say, I do love getting to read BIPOC authors. One of our goals this season was to increase diversity, and we did that. We've read a lot more diverse authors this season than we ever have.
Because reading diverse authors is important.
It's very important. And Alexis Henderson is Black.
Right.
And her main character in this book, both of her main characters, Dante and Lennon, are both Black.
And Lennon's queer.
Yes. Yeah. Although, is she, or is this like persuasion? And I don't see, that's what I mean. I don't get it.
I don't get it. Final thoughts, April Goodreads. Did I miss anything?
I gave this a 3.5, but I've sat with that reading, and I really feel like it's more like a 3.
I was going to say, you rating it higher than me is kind of wild.
It's okay. I mean, I think that the world building is what did it for me. And I like academic sat books. I love dark academia. I like this push towards more books set in colleges and things like
that. Yeah. I liked the idea of this, But the more I got the magician's vibes, the more frustrated I got with it.
But I think at the beginning I got the magician's vibes and then I just didn't anymore. But my biggest issue with this was the consent. It's just really gross to me because there's not...
It's a weird line.
You cannot give consent when the whole school is focused on persuading people to do what they want.
Right.
Like you can't give consent when that's the goal. When the goal is to force people to do your will. And violently so.
The fact that there wasn't a conversation about consent in this book when we are talking about force of will and people's demeanor, personality, whatever. Mm-hmm. It feels.
And to me, a book that was released in 2024, it was just released last year. Mm-hmm. A book that was released in 2024, we just fucking know better.
We know.
We fucking know better.
You want to talk about what's coming up?
Yeah, so next week we're reading this book, When Women Were Dragons, by Kelly Barnhill. And I'm excited for this. I'm actually hosting this one, even though this is historical fantasy, which is not my jam.
I cannot believe you're hosting a historical book.
So I
added this to our list when I started it. And then somehow you're hosting it.
Did you read it already?
I started it. I got to chapter 3 and I was like, this is a good pod book. And then I put it on our list and then we offered it to Katie and
Chezzy.
And then we just decided to throw it in pod later. But
that's how I ended up with it though, because it was one of the books that we needed to we wanted to put on. But I will say I have read Kelly Barnhill before. The Girl Who Drank the Moon is a middle grade book. It's phenomenal. So I'm interested to see
about her writing.
I'm interested to see how it translates to adult because she writes both. And then
I have a lot of friends that are historical fiction readers that are like in my friend group. And I've had several people when that book came out saying, Molly, you have to read this. Molly, you're gonna love this.
It's actually been on my list for a while, my TBR for a while. But we don't normally go this far ahead, but I'm going to tell you what's happening in 2 weeks because we have a guest author, Beth Rivas, who is her first book. Oh my gosh. Her first book, which is called...
Full Speed to Crash Landing.
No. Her first book ever, which is called Across the Universe. I read that when I was a teacher, when it first came out in the early 2000s. But this series, Full Speed to a Crash Landing, How to Steal a Galaxy, and the newest book, Last Chance to Save the World. I read the first two. They're very short. They're like novella length. She texts me
and like Molly.
I read the first two in December while I was trying to hit that 100 book goal, even though my goal was 50. I don't know why I was pushing myself, but I texted Molly and I was like, you have to read this series because it's giving me Firefly vibes. And for those of you who are watching online, tell me this profile doesn't look like Nathan Fillion. Tell me that doesn't look like him.
These books are a young Malcolm Reynolds. And A, who is a true good, right? Like a lawful good with a chaotic neutral that is River Song. And they are just fucking balls to the wall. What I love about this, the dedication in the first one.
Oh, this so book, funny.
This book is dedicated to Spite, my greatest muse and motivator. Then epigraph. Look, I don't have the cash to pay for a quote from Bruce Springsteen, so just put on Dancing in the Dark while you read. It's probably better that way anyway.
In the second book, her dedication is to desperation, a true soul killer that almost did me in. Almost. I survived, and now I'm going to make it everyone's problem. But her epigraph for this one is, in lieu of an actual epigraph, go to your local independent bookstore or library, find a copy of Dreamwork by Mary Oliver, turn to the poem Wild Geese, and read the first line of that poem. Do you know what the first line of that poem is?
No.
It's okay not to be good.
I fucking love her.
Ada Lamar perfectly.
In the third book, dedicated to desperation, a true soul killer that almost did me in. Almost. I survived.
No, that's the one I just read.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The third one is, this book is dedicated to that absolute asshole Hope.
And the epigraph, this epigraph of this book is ineffable and obviously unquotable. Attitude of a Canadian goose. I want to be friends with you, Beth.
So
Revis.
We're mutuals with her on TikTok, and I just messaged her and was like, hey, I'm obsessed. Can you come on the pod? And she was like, yeah, I'm game. So we're going to be interviewing her. She'll be on this month. And
I've been fangirling all over her on Instagram. Constantly in her DMs. I'm sure she's over me.
No. She's really great. And I just, like, across the universe, like, I'm telling you, I read this when it first came out and it was so good.
Y'all need to catch up on this. Mm-hmm.
And it won't take you long because each of these are like day readers.
Yeah. This audiobook is 4 hours. This audiobook is 3 hours. This audiobook is like 3-4-ish.
3.5, I think.
You guys can do these books, all three of them, in one day. I promise you.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Or you can spend a weekend and read all three of them.
Don't fall.
Molly's ADHD is something else today. And then, yeah, I mean, next month we're having three authors in a row.
The only book that isn't an author is this one.
That one's actually going to be the last one of May, last night at the Telegraph Club. I realized that it is a Pride book and we're reading it in May, but we're doing that
because... My brain doesn't work.
Hazel Gaynor is coming on and we needed to get
fucking her closer love to Hazel Gaynor, yeah. By the way.
We had to get her closer to her release date, so...
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, besties. We'll see you same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah.
Till next time, guys. Bye!
Bye!
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was An Academy of Liars by Alexis Henderson. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins. And music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com. Or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. You can support the Book Besties by joining us on our Patreon at Book Besties Podcast. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.